We're in a series in the book of Acts, but I put that on hold because today I have a special, special message for all of the dads, future dads, all of the men, all of the young men. But this message is not just for the dads and the men and young men that are in the service. It's for you ladies, it's for everyone that's here, those that are watching live video streaming. I want to welcome you, those that may be in our chapel venue. It's so good to see each and every one of you. The title of my message today, Begin Again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this Father's Day. We thank you, God, that you are our loving Heavenly Father. Thank you that no one is here in this service by accident or by coincidence. They're here by divine appointment. And those that are listening by divine appointment. Father, I thank you in advance that your word will find a home in each and every heart, in each and every life. And I thank you in advance in what you're going to do with this message and through this message in our lives today. I thank you for what will happen at the end of the service, how men and women, families, will respond by driving a stake in the ground and laying claim of this message for their lives. I pray and ask your Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place, and prepare our hearts to receive the engrafted word. I ask this in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, and everyone said, Amen. Begin again. You know, there is no shame in starting over. And the reason there is no shame in starting over, because when you begin again, if you begin with God, you can build it bigger and better, because there is no shame in starting over. There was a mother who took her three-year-old son Tyler into a card store to pick out a Father's Day card for his dad. And he went through one card after the other, open it up, put it back. Then he'd start over, pick another card, open it up, put it back. Then he'd start over, pick another card, open it up, and put it back. And the mother said, Tyler, can't you find a card for Daddy? And little Tyler looked up at his mother and he said, No, Mommy, I'm looking for one that has money in it. That's a smart kid right there. There is no shame in beginning again. There is no shame in starting over. The shame is not starting over. The shame is not beginning again. You can begin again. I love what Henry Ford said once. He defined a mistake as an opportunity to begin again more intelligently. Perhaps Henry Ford got the idea for this quote from the life of Nehemiah. In my daily devotional reading through Scripture, I just finished reading through the book of Nehemiah, and I was reminded that in 2013, we spent an entire year studying the book of Nehemiah, 38 sermons out of the book of Nehemiah. But as I reread the book of Nehemiah, I was touched, I was challenged, I was inspired, and the message came through my devotional reading through Nehemiah, particularly this verse of Scripture in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17, which is the text for our message today. Nehemiah says, But now I said to them, You know very well what trouble we are in. Fellow Americans, you know very well what trouble we are in. I may not be aware of the trouble that you may be in today. I may not be aware of the trouble your family may be in today. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. For over 140 years, the walls around Jerusalem had been broken down, had been torn down. There was a heap and a pile of rubble all the way around the city of Jerusalem. Walls represented defense. Walls represented protection. Walls represented that the city was alive and thriving. The very fact that these walls had been destroyed for over 140 years and nobody did anything about it until Nehemiah, touched by God, shows up and he says, We've been living in disgrace long enough. It's time to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. I declare that it's time for us to begin to rebuild the walls around our lives, our marriages, our homes, our families, and our nation once again, because it's not too late. You see, you can begin again. There's no shame in starting over. The shame is in not starting over once there's been a failure. And like Jerusalem, many times we find our lives, our families, our homes lying in ruins, destroyed by the fire of greed, destroyed by the fire of drugs, destroyed by the fire of sin, destroyed by the fire of alcoholism, or destroyed by the fire of lust. But no matter how bad it may be, You can rebuild again. With God, you can begin again. There is no shame in starting over. Because when you start over with God, you can build it bigger and better than ever before. Perhaps you're here today and maybe you had a business venture and it failed. You can begin again. Perhaps you were married and that marriage failed. Nobody wants their marriages to fail. You're here today and you didn't want your marriage to fail. In my 27 plus years of pastoral ministry, I have performed dozens of weddings. It used to be a regular part of my job description when I was an associate pastor to perform weddings. And of all the weddings that I've performed, and of all the weddings I've stood in, and of all the weddings I've participated in, every bride and every groom that was in that wedding ceremony wanted to be married. I have yet been a part of a shotgun marriage. You know what a shotgun marriage is? When the father makes the young man marry his daughter, double action shotgun, and makes sure that he loves her and takes care of her for the rest of his life. No, every wedding I've been a part of, the bride and the groom wanted to be married. To such an extent that today, did you know, the average cost of a wedding today is $27,000. That, my friend, is a small fortune. Who has $27,000? We don't, but our parents do, right? That's what the young ladies say. I don't have it, but my dad does, right? $27,000. So many prepare and invest and plan for the wedding, but not for the marriage. But everyone gets married and they plan to stay married, but then life happens. We're fallen human beings. We live in a sinful world, and no one plans to be divorced, but sometimes you may find yourself walking through or post-divorce. What do you do? What do you do? You begin again. You start over. There is no shame in starting over. Maybe you've lost your character. Maybe you've lost your reputation. Maybe you've lost your morals. You can begin again. Maybe your dreams have been dashed against the harsh, hard stone of reality. You can dream again. You can believe again. You can love again. You can begin again. There is no shame in starting over. The shame is in doing nothing. You know, I believe the devil has three favorite words. And I believe the devil's three favorite words are these: it's too late. That's what the devil wants to tell people when they find themselves in the state, in the condition of ruin, like Jerusalem was in. Apparently, for the last 140 years until Nehemiah came on the scenes, everybody thought it can't be done. Everybody thought it's too late. Everybody thought we're beyond restoration or we're beyond hope. I want you to know today, as long as there is breath in your lungs, and maybe this message isn't for you, maybe this message is for a son, maybe this message is for a daughter, maybe this message is for a grandson, maybe this message is for a granddaughter, maybe this message is for a friend or a relative or a loved one, or maybe God's entrusting this message to you today because somebody's going to come across your pathway in the weeks and months to come, and they have bought into the lie from the devil himself that for them it's too late. I want you to know that if there's breath in your lungs, there's hope in your future. It's not too late, because God is in you and God is with you. You know, in life we can either be a part of the wrecking crew or the building crew. As Steve, our missionary friend here from China, he was a builder and a contractor before he surrendered to the call to do missionary work. And he, among all of you that have ever built anything or are builders, you know it costs, it takes a lot to build something. And you can spend an entire lifetime building something and see it go to pot overnight. Here's what Winston Churchill once said, famous quote. He said, "To build may have to be the slow and laborious task of years. To destroy can be the thoughtless act of a single day." Imagine that. You spend your entire life building a marriage. You spend your entire life building a family. You spend your entire life building a reputation. You spend your entire life building a business or building a profession or building a career or building a church or building a ministry. And on one given day, one single day, one thoughtless act, one swell sweep, it's all gone. all destroyed. Never underestimate what one president can do, what one Congress can do, one session of Congress. Never underestimate what one politician or one leader can do. Never underestimate the destruction that can come into a nation. What has taken years to build up, what has taken years to defend, what has taken years to support, one moment in time, 1 year ago, this past July, five justices on the Supreme Court with one swoop, one vote, undid 6,000 years of tradition and history when they defined marriage no longer between one man and one woman. I want you to know that we are living in disgrace. There is ruin in the land, but I've got hope. We can start over. There is no shame in starting over. We can begin again, piece by piece, stone by stone, block by block. We can rebuild the wall around our families. We can rebuild the wall around our nation once again. We can see revival come to our land. It's not too late. The devil wants you to think for your life or for my life or for the life of your loved ones. It's too late. I want you to know if there's breath in your lungs, there's hope in your future. And God says it's not too late. You haven't yet begun. It's time to come and let us rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Come on, church. Can we do that? Hallelujah! He wants young people to believe that lie. How many young people want to throw in the towel where life is concerned? How many young people today are tempted with giving in to the demon of suicide? It's not worth it. I can't dream again. I can't love again. I can't believe again. I can't begin again. I'm here to tell you, you can. I'm here to tell you there's no shame in starting over. I don't care how far you have fallen. I don't care how far you have gone. I want you to know that you are not beyond the reach of the loving arms of a loving Heavenly Father, and His grace can find you, and His grace can rescue you. And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Your future in God is bright and beautiful and glorious. You can't change the past. So quit crying over spilt milk, but you can change what the future is going to be if you and I will look to Him and trust in Him. We can begin again, and there is no shame in starting over. The shame is in doing nothing. The shame is in staying in a state of disgrace. I'll tell you what's disgraceful. The disgrace isn't what's disgraceful. What's disgraceful in the midst of disgrace is dissing the grace of God. Tweet that one. I like that. That's a Carl Toddy original. Jerusalem was in a state of disgrace, in a state of ruin. And they could have bemoaned why we're here and what happened and how it happened and when it happened, like a broken record, over and over and over again. It wasn't going to change the fact. It wasn't going to change the current state of reality. It wasn't until Nehemiah said, we can do this. We can rebuild. We can begin again, and we can build it bigger, and we can build it better, because this time we'll learn from our mistakes, and we'll do it God's way. Amen? We can do it God's way. Come on, church. But you have to think forward, not backwards. You have to think ahead, not behind. You have to live for tomorrow, not yesterday. You know, Jesus said, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. What is he saying when he said that? Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people, and vice versa. Sometimes we think, well, if I play by the rules, if I do everything, you know, God's way, and if I keep His commands and love Him with all my heart, bad things won't happen. But that's just not true. I'm reading now through the book of Job. And Job was the greatest man that ever lived on the earth at that time. He'd get up every day and he would offer up sacrifices for every one of his children just in case they had committed a sin that day unaware. He was the prophet, the priest, and the king of his home. And he was blessed, and he was prospering, and he was the richest man, and things were going good. And one day the devil presented himself before the Lord and said, God said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, does he serve you for nothing? You've built a hedge of protection around Job. I can't get at him. But remove that hedge of protection and afflict a man. Take all his blessings away from us, and he will curse you to your face. God said, okay, you have at it. Have at it. And in one single day, The devil stole all of his possessions and took his entire children away from him. They all died in horrendous, tragic events. And yet in all of that, Job did not curse God. He did not falsely accuse or blame God. Imagine that. And then the devil presented himself before the Lord again. The Lord said, well, what do you think of him now? He said, skin for skin, afflict a man's flesh, he'll curse you to your face. He said, well, have at it. But God put him on a short leash. You know the story, right? And he was attacked by the enemy with boils, oozing, painful boils all over his body to where he was terrifying to look at by his wife, and his own friends forsook him. And yet in that, Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. He never falsely accused or blamed God. And in 9 months, God reversed the curse. In 9 months, it went from being at the bottom to being back at the top. But bad things can happen to good people. And here's the difference. I was talking to a family, and they're very wealthy, and they love God, and they're going through a very difficult time, a health crisis. And we were talking about, you know, storms in life come. It rains on the just and the unjust. The difference is, not if the winds come and if the rains fall and if the storms come, but when they do. When they do, what have you built your life upon? What have you built your family, your marriage, your future, your hopes, your finances? What have you built? If you've built it upon sand, when the storms come, you'll be swept away. But if you've built your house, if you've built your marriage, if you've built your family on the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ, after the winds blow, after the rains come, and after the storms pass, you will still be standing strong because you've built your life on the solid rock foundation of Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So the storms will come. We can't prevent them, but when they do, they will not sweep you away. If you're building your life on the solid rock foundation of Christ. So if you want to rebuild, and there is no shame in starting over, the shame is in doing nothing. You can begin again, and you can build it bigger, and you can build it better, but it's going to take three things. It's going to take God, G-O-D. G stands for God, O stands for others, and D stands for determination. If you want to start over, if you want to rebuild again and build it bigger and better, number one, it's going to take God. Look at Psalm 127, verse 1. I love this verse. It says, if the Lord is not helping the builders, then the building of a house is to no purpose. The building of a house is to no purpose unless the Lord's in it. The building of a marriage, the building of a family, the building of an education, the building of a career, the building of a reputation, whatever it is, we're all building something. And it could take an entire lifetime to build it. And then on one day, one thoughtless act on a given single day, it can all be taken away. And then what? Live in defeat and disgrace and despair and despondency the rest of your life? No, God forbid. The greatest compliment that you and I could pay to the grace of God, the greatest compliment that you and I could pay to the grace of God is in the midst of failure, in the midst of ruin, in the midst of disaster, say, God, I failed, but you have not failed me. And I will believe again, and I will dream again, and I will hope again, and I will love again, and I will begin again, because for me, it's not too late. There is no shame in starting over. The shame is in doing nothing. God's grace is not beyond your reach. God's grace, where sin abounds, the Bible says grace is much more abound. But the Lord must be the builder, or what we are building is being built in vain. And what we are building will eventually go up in smoke. When we stand before the Lord and all of our life's work is tested by the fire, Paul talks about writing to the Corinthians. All that's wood, hay, and stubble, poof, will go up in smoke. But that which is built the right way, on the right foundation, for the right reasons, for the Lord, is the gold, silver, and precious stone, as the Apostle Paul talked about, and it will withstand the test of God's fire. But here's what Jesus reminds all of us of. In John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 5, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. You say, well, that sure didn't apply to Steve Jobs. He sure did a lot without Jesus. Well, what Jesus is talking about in John 15, the context, the chapter is, you can't bear fruit that glorifies God without Jesus. You can't live the life that God wants you to live. You can't be the person that God wants you to be without Jesus. He's the vine, we're the branch. He's the giver of life, he's the sustainer of life. He's what allows us to be everything that God has intended for us to be this side of eternity, this side of heaven. And without Jesus, you can bear no fruit that's lasting, that's eternal, and that brings glory to God. But then, later on, the Apostle Paul, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, what did he say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, church. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You can begin again, and you can rebuild it, and it can be bigger and better. There is no shame in starting over. The shame is in doing nothing. But without God, you can do nothing. I love Nehemiah 6:16. This verse is after the walls had been rebuilt in record time, 52 days. Never underestimate what God can do in a short period of time, if you and I will allow him to do it. It says this, when our enemies in the surrounding nations heard this, that the walls had been built back up, after 140 plus years, they realized that they had lost faith, since everyone knew that the work had been done, say these last three words out loud with me, with God's help. Say those three words again, with God's help. You see, many people have counted you out. Many people have counted you out and said, it's done, you're done, it's over. And they think you can't make a comeback. You can't have a do-over. But I want you to know, no matter how bad it may look to you and how bad it may look to others, I want you to know you can begin again. You can start over. There is no shame in starting over. And you can build it bigger and you can build it better. Say it with me. With God's help. One more time. Come on. One more time. With God's help. Come on. Let's give him praise. Can we do that? Maybe this message isn't for you, but maybe it's for a son, maybe it's for a daughter, maybe it's for a parent, maybe it's for a loved one, maybe it's for a friend, maybe it's for a coworker, maybe it's for an appointed time in your future. And that's why you need to drive a stake in the ground. You need to lay claim to this message. This is a prophetic word for your life and for your future. If you want to rebuild and build it bigger and better, and you want to start over and you want to begin again, number one, it's going to take God. I looked up the Christian 12-step program. And the first step in the Christian 12-step program, it says this, I admit that I am powerless over the effects of my separation or lack of fellowship with God, and that my life has become unmanageable. The first step out of defeat, the first step out of disgrace, the first step towards a new beginning is admitting that you're powerless. Yes. And that's hard for human beings to do because we are so prideful. To admit that we were wrong, to admit that we can't do it on our own. But that is the greatest sign of strength in a human being, to admit they can't do it and they need God's help. And when we make that admission, God comes and stands by you and with you. We need God. Every marriage in here needs God. Every family in here needs God. Every person in here, everyone in our world needs God. Thank God for missionaries in China, because those in China need God. Those in Hong Kong need God. Those in the Middle East need God. The world needs God. Not some mystical, man-made, fabricated, fictional God. The God that made heaven and earth. The God who is the creator and maker of all things. The God who came to us in the form of his son, Jesus. Hallelujah. The world needs Jesus. I've been hearing this term lately. People are saying things like, well, the universe smiled upon you. Or we need a moment of silence. The universe must be favoring you for some reason. What's this universe? Like, we personalized the universe, the nebulous universe, right? The universe. How ridiculous is that? Actually, it's pandeism, which is a mixture of pantheism and deism. Pandeism. Spiritualizing the universe. Imagine what Psalm 23 would sound like. The universe is my shepherd, I shall not wander. Doesn't make sense. Our universe, which art in the universe. No, we don't need the universe. We need God. We need God. But number two, you can begin again. And when you begin again, you can build it bigger and better than you ever dreamed of. There is no shame in starting over. The shame is in doing nothing. But if you're going to begin again, if you're going to start over, God can give you a do-over. God can give you a new beginning. Number one, you're going to have to do it with God. That's where it all starts, with God. But number two, it's going to take others. Others. I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 to 20. You've heard me quote this verse over the last couple of weeks. It's just been on my heart, but here it is. Again, I say to you, this is Jesus talking. Again, I say to you that if two of you, just two, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that you ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Why? Why, Lord? Because we're two or three? Ah, okay. Everybody could find at least one other. If you're really blessed, you'll find a third person. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. My power is available for them. My favor, my blessing is available for them. If you want to begin again, if you want to start over, and there is no shame in starting over, the shame is in doing nothing. You're going to have to, number one, it's going to take God. Number two, you're going to have to enlist others. You can't do it on your own. Nehemiah had the help of the king of heaven. He had the help of King Artaxerxes, a pagan king. He had the help of the officials and leaders in Jerusalem. And he enlisted the help and the assistance of the people of Jerusalem. And together they came and they rebuilt the walls in record time. You're going to have to enlist others. You see, Elijah had Elisha. David had Jonathan, as much as Jonathan had David. Moses had Aaron, and Aaron had Moses. Naomi had Ruth, as much as Ruth had Naomi. Esther had Mordecai, as much as Mordecai had Esther. Paul had Silas, as much as Silas had Paul. Jesus had John, as much as John had Jesus. And LeBron has Kyrie, like, as much as Kyrie has LeBron. Game 7, today. I'm ready. We need each other. You can't do it on your own. See, part of what it means to be human is our reliance on others. Even the Trinity itself, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Spirit, three in one. It speaks of what? Togetherness. Togetherness. The worst thing in life is to be alone. I didn't say the worst thing in life is to be unmarried, because for some it may be the best thing. Because I mean, not some people aren't called to be married. Jesus wasn't married. Paul wasn't married. Some of the great people in history were never married. Now, it's never not good for a man to be alone, because I didn't say that. God said that. God looked at them and said, it's not good for a man to be alone. He never said that about a woman, because women can, they're just fine on their own. I mean, women don't need a man as much as a man needs a woman. Now, I don't know why that is, but that's what God said. It's not good for a man to be alone. So, ladies, there's some guys in here. Help them out. In a godly way, let them know you're available. Trying to get all the men in this church married. Amen. Now, for somehow, some way, it works out this way. I don't have scripture for this, but I believe it. That's why after many, many, many years of marriage, usually the husband goes home to be with Jesus before the wife. It doesn't always happen that way, but it usually happens that way. And you're like, well, why, Pastor Carl? That's God's way of rewarding that woman for putting up with that man all those years. Freedom! Oh, you said, oh, I loved him, I missed him, but I got my life back. No, I'm just. That's why I tell my wife, I'm going to go first. I got to go first. Now, here's what C.S. Lewis said. We're born helpless. As soon as we are fully conscious, we discover loneliness. We need others physically, emotionally, and intellectually. We need them if we are to know anything, even ourselves. We need others. And yet so many people cut people out of their life and cut people off. And don't build healthy relationships. And if they are in a healthy relationship, they allow relationship killers into that relationship. I want to give you four relationships are so important. I want to give you four relationship killers out of the book of Proverbs. Number one, slander. Proverbs 10:18 says, hiding hatred makes you a liar. Slandering others makes you a fool. To slander is to speak false or malicious half-truths about another. And the Bible condemns it. It's a relationship killer. Number two, anger. Proverbs 22:24 says, don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people. Number three, the third killer of relationships is jealousy. Anger is cruel and destroys like a flood, but no one can put up with jealousy. And the fourth relationship killer listed in the book of Proverbs is pride. In Proverbs 13:10 says, pride leads to conflict, and those who take advice are wise. There's no shame in starting over. Listen to me. You can begin again, and you can build it bigger and better, and it's not too late. It's not too late. But it's going to take God, number one. It's going to take others, number two. And number three, it's going to take determination. The G in God is God. The O stands for others, and the D stands for determination. Look at what it says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verse 16, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, a righteous person may fall seven times, but he gets up again. However, in a disaster, wicked people fall, and they don't get back up. The difference between a righteous person and a wicked person, the only difference is they both fall. The difference is the righteous gets back up. And they may fall, but they get back up. And they may fall, and they get back up. And they may fall, and they get back up. And they know maybe they didn't want to fall. Maybe they didn't plan to fall. Maybe they did not determine within themselves to fall, but they fall. But every single time, by the grace of God, they get back up again. And they don't throw in the towel. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of George Mallory? Of course you haven't heard of George Mallory. Why? Because in the early 1920s, George Mallory was the first to lead a team to try to reach the peak of Mount Everest. On three separate occasions, he tried and failed. On the final occasion, he died. And they found his body in 1999. His feet dug into the mountain. His body outstretched, his arms out in front of him, reaching to the summit. His hands dug in, clawed into the frozen ground. A small threaded rope that snapped and broken around his waist. He had given his all to conquer that mountain. Shortly after that episode of the early 1920s, some of his friends came back to England. They had a special gathering, a special banquet. And they put a picture of Mount Everest. Mind you, this was before anyone had successfully reached the summit, the peak of Mount Everest. And one of George Mallory's friends said this as he hung a picture of Mount Everest behind him. I speak to you, Mount Everest, in the name of all brave men living and those yet unborn. Mount Everest, you defeated us once. You defeated us twice. You defeated us three times. But Mount Everest, we shall someday defeat you because you can't get any bigger, but we can. I love that attitude. And in 1953, two climbers, Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay, reached the top of Mount Everest. Because the Mount Everests in your life and my life can't get any bigger, but we can with God's help. Climb our Mount Everest and reach the summit. Maybe in my attempt I fall short, then maybe my sons can go just a little bit farther. And maybe they may fail, but because I tried and failed, which is better to try and fail than to fail by never trying, maybe it will allow them to go just a little bit further. And if they fail, maybe it will allow my grandsons or my great-granddaughters or future generations to eventually make it to the top of Mount Everest. So whatever mountain you need to climb and whatever summit you need to reach, give it your all. Go for it with God's help and get as far as you can and know eventually someone that's coming behind you will reach the top of that mountain peak. It's not too late. You can begin again, and you can build it bigger, and you can build it better than you could have ever have imagined or dreamed. There is no shame in starting over. The shame is in doing nothing. And with God, and with others, and with determination, we can rebuild these walls and we can remove the disgrace from our lives, from our marriages, from our families, from our future, from our communities, from our nation, and from our world. Let us rise up together and let us rebuild the walls, church. Come on, stand to your feet. Symbolically, stand to your feet in Jesus. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord. You can begin again. I want our worship team to come back up on the platform. And we're going to end this service the way we've ended every service this weekend, because I've just felt impressed of the Lord to do this. This is a spiritual moment for you. It may not apply to everybody's, but it will apply to many of you. God has spoken to you through this message. Now you need to carpe diem. You need to seize the day, the moment. This is a kairos moment. This is a God moment in time for your life, or the life of a loved one that you're standing in intercession on behalf. This is a word that God wants you to stake a claim. He wants you to drive a stake and lay claim to this message for you. So here's how we're going to do it. The book of Exodus chapter 20 says, "Build an altar and I will meet you there." And as we begin to sing this song, it is well with my soul, I want you to make your way to the altar. I'm not going to lay hands on you. I'm going to pray a simple prayer over you. But this is about you and God. This is about you laying claim for this message, for your life, for the life of a loved one that desperately needs it. So as we begin to sing, as the Holy Spirit prompts you, I want you to make your way to the altar, because God is going to meet you here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We love you today, God. Thank you for your word reaching our hearts, finding a home in our hearts. Thank you that your word does not return back to you void. Thank you that men and women are going to stake a claim and lay claim, drive a stake in this message for their life, for their families, for their marriages, for their loved ones, for that friend that's struggling, that it's not too late. It's not too late. They can begin again. They can love again. They can dream again. They can hope again. And God, there is no shame in starting over. If when we start over with God and with the help of others and with determination, Lord. Thank you that your grace is not beyond the reach of where we have fallen or where our lives may be today, God. That you can give us a do-over. We can experience a new beginning, a new start, a fresh start by your grace and by your mercies, which are new every morning, Lord. Thank you, Father. With my soul. Just lift your hands to heaven. Begin to minister to the Lord. Begin to receive everything that he has for you. Begin to declare that it is well. It is well with my soul. That it's well with my marriage. It's well with my health. It's well with my future. It's well with my finances. That I put God in control. Lord, we look up to the heavens from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And he that's begun a good work in me will complete it until that final day. Lord, we believe. Lord, we trust. Lord, like Job, we don't want to falsely accuse you. We don't want to blame you, God. And if we have, we ask you to forgive us, God. We know you're a good God. We know you're a good, loving, heavenly Father. And every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no changing, no shadow of changing, Lord. Thank you that your mercies are new for us today, Lord. We love you today, God. We meet with you at this altar. We lay claim to this message. Your word has found a home in our heart, and it will not return back to you void. It will accomplish what you set it forth to do, God. You're giving couples a new start and a fresh start and a new beginning. You're giving men a fresh start and a new beginning, God. That the fire of lust and the fire of greed and the fire of rebellion that has burned down the walls, God, they will not remain burnt, God, but from the ashes you will resurrect a new beginning and a fresh start, and they will build it bigger and they will build it better, not through their own strength or their own power, but in your strength and your power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're showing your people the way. God is showing you the way. I sense by the Spirit of God that the way has been hidden. The road has been blocked. The view has been hindered. But now God is opening up and he's showing you. And you're seeing the path that's always been there, but had been hidden from you. And now you're going to begin to walk along that path that leads to life, that path that leads to victory, and that life that leads to God's full blessing in your life. Now I want us to pray this prayer together. There are many of you here today that need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Some of you have never committed your life to Jesus. Now I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with your own mouths and mean it from your own heart, and Jesus will come into your life, or God's love and forgiveness will wash and cleanse you from all sin and all shame and the stain of sin from your life. Let's say this together. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Give me strength to live for you, to serve you all the days of my life, beginning today. I can begin again. I can rebuild. It can be bigger and better. With your help, there is no shame in starting over. The shame is in doing nothing. But today, I'm doing something. I'm turning to you in faith, and I receive your blessing and your strength in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord together, church family. God is so good.